And one is just this time of worshiping through music together and how rich and meaningful it is. And thank you, Tara Lee and the band, for just making us aware of God's presence in such a powerful way. And the other thing I really, really, really like is bacon. And I may have expressed this to you before, but I love the smell of it. Like, we went to Denny's because on Monday, Ed and I were camping out near Kimberley, and it was pouring and pouring and pouring. Yeah, it was so loud. So we had to pack up in the rain, and I said to Ed, he was still sleeping, and I was lying in the tent, bored out of my skull, because all I can hear is rain, and it's like, I'm done, let's get out of here. And he woke up, and I said, I need French toast. So we packed up. We couldn't cook breakfast. We packed up, went to Denny's, and they asked the question, would you like 2 pieces of bacon with your French toast or 4? And I'm like, "That's what kind of a question is that? Of course I want 4. So today I want to share my love of bacon with you. So there's going to be some plates passed around. Just take 1 piece of bacon. If you don't like bacon, we're not going to force you to take it. But just enjoy a piece of bacon. Meanwhile, I have a funny story to tell you. So last week, you may have observed that this clicker, we were having some difficulty with it. Well, I was so proud of myself because there were times throughout the service I was able to advance the slide and make it work. Then I go back afterwards to the booth and I find out that we forgot to put the little piece into the computer. So all this time, I thought I was advancing the slides, and I found out our tech team was actually doing it for me. And so I just thought, first of all, kudos to our tech team. They are amazing, and they don't get a lot of thanks. They're constantly just, yeah, have my back, switching mics, doing stuff like that. And then I thought, isn't that like us even in God's kingdom, where we're like, I'm so proud of myself. Look at what I just did. And God's like, no, actually, I put that slide forward for you. That was all me. So that's just like a freebie here this morning. So did you guys enjoy your bacon? Your little taste? Yeah. you guys want more bacon? Yeah, I bet. You get that taste in your mouth, right? And now it's just going to be torture. I'm sorry. I'll try to talk as fast as I can so you can go get bacon. But Matthew 5:13 says this. You are the salt of the earth. What good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. So I found out bacon per 100 grams has 1,717 milligrams of salt. So perhaps your craving for more bacon has to do with the salt content in there. And, thank you. Yeah, I'll take that. Perfect. All right, I'm just going to leave this up here. Sorry. Try not to pay attention to the bacon. But bacon is so appealing because of the salt. It draws out the flavor. It keeps us coming back for more. We were at Fort Steele yesterday. Hey, get back to your seat. This happens at home too. And it keeps us coming back for more. We were at Fort Steele yesterday, you know, saw a group of pigs, and I said to Timothy, remember that tomorrow during the service as we serve bacon. But anyway, salt has power. It has the power to preserve. It has the power to give flavor, and it keeps people coming back for more. I believe the same is true of the Holy Spirit, that he adds flavor to our lives. The Holy Spirit has power. And the Holy Spirit gives us power to impact our world. And he keeps us coming back for more. Whenever I think of the Holy Spirit, I think of it in relation to that craving for more. You know, when we have that deep cry of our hearts, God, I want more of you. I want more of you. And I believe the answer to that craving is the Holy Spirit. And he gives us power to live our lives successfully, to be overcomers, and power to be witnesses. So over these next number of months, we're going to be doing a series called Salt, and then we're going to switch it over to Light. And as we talk about salt, we're going to be talking about the life and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And as we get into Light, we're going to begin unpacking the spiritual gifts. And I believe there's going to be a real opportunity for each of us to receive altar ministry. So I'm just putting that out there now so you can prepare yourself mentally. We're going to be giving opportunity for you to come forward and receive prayer and ministry throughout these series. So who is the Holy Spirit? If we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, we just need to lay down some foundational things. So first of all, the Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. He's not a force. He's not an it. He's not God's minion who goes around and does God's beckoning. He is God. And we need the Holy Spirit. Jesus made it clear to his disciples in the New Testament that he was going to be leaving them, that he would be going and preparing a place for them. And if you've ever been in a situation where someone important to you, maybe a support to you, has left, you understand that feeling, right? And so the disciples are like following Jesus, learning from him, spending time with him, and Jesus is like, so I'm going to leave now, right? And just the panic for them. But he didn't leave them orphans, and he says that in the scripture, John 14, verses 15 to 18. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. And that word advocate there means somebody who speaks in our defense. What a powerful word. So God leaves us with somebody who speaks in our defense. We also know from Scripture that the Holy Spirit is our helper, our counselor, comforter, teacher. He convicts of sin. He gives witness in our spirit that we are children of God. So his ministry is incredibly broad. He is God. He's God here in us, doing all of the things that we would expect God to do in our lives. And he gives us the power to be a witness. So us, by our lives and by our influence, we are to bring people to a saving knowledge of God. And that's simply not possible without the Holy Spirit in our lives. A powerless life is like a piece of bacon with no salt. If you didn't have salt in that bacon, you probably wouldn't want another piece, unless you're a really big meat lover, maybe, but the analogy breaks down there if we go there. So salt, the Holy Spirit, is power and flavor, and it keeps us coming back for more. He keeps us coming back for more. Acts 1, 4 to 5 says this. Once when he was eating, that should say eating with them. That's like a really bad typo there. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit initially is with us. The Holy Spirit is the one who drew you to Jesus in the first place. He's the one that started, you know, got that fluttery feeling maybe inside when you heard the gospel and wondered, do I respond? Do I not respond? That was the Holy Spirit with us. Then the Holy Spirit is within us. That moment we first believe and call on the Lord to save us, it says that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So he's there. So you have the Holy Spirit if you have made a decision to walk with the Lord in salvation. And then we talk about the Holy Spirit upon us. So it's like that action of putting on a coat. You can have your coat with you. You can have your coat tucked in a backpack near you, or you can put on your coat. And so the Holy Spirit upon us, covering us with his power to witness. So upon us is what we use when we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit upon us. This is a subsequent experience to salvation. So this is another experience, another gift that the Lord makes available to us. And it's a core tenet of our faith, and And it's a core tenet of our belief as a Foursquare church. If you didn't know, the dove there that's also on our banner up here represents Jesus Christ as the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. So this is something we hold very dear. We believe that the Holy Spirit is for today and that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available to us as believers today. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Peter, you remember Peter, perhaps? So this is Peter before the Holy Spirit was sent. This is Peter this isn't an actual photograph, just putting that out there. This is Peter after denying Jesus three times. Peter living a powerless life. Peter stuck. Peter had all sorts of issues. If you watch his walk with Jesus, Jesus was continuously kind of correcting him and redirecting him and all of those things. And then Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I won't abandon you. And then he denies Jesus three times. And many of us are in the place of this Peter right now. This Peter who is fearful, who is stuck, who is living without power. And then we see in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes, descends on the believers, baptizes them, gives them that power that was promised in Acts 1:8, and we have Peter preaching to multitudes of people, and they get saved. And then he keeps doing it, and he lives this victorious life. He walks up to somebody in the town square and says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." That was almost the song there, if you know that song from Sunday school, yeah. So we have Peter, who is before a life lacking in flavor and power, suddenly drawing many people to Jesus. His life is filled with power, and he's able to live victoriously. So how does one receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, in the Bible, in the book of Acts, there's different examples, but one of the main things is it does start with a salvation experience. It does mean first acknowledging Jesus is Lord, coming to a saving grace with him. That is like the prerequisite. If you've ever done high school or college courses, you know, they always list prerequisite. You have to do this thing first. So first it's salvation. And then we see many examples where there's a laying on of hands. So people will come and lay hands and pray for people to receive. In another situation, in Acts 2, in fact, the very first Pentecost, they were simply waiting and praying, and the Holy Spirit descended upon them. In Acts 10, I love this, it says, while Peter was still speaking, the Gentiles received. So he hadn't even finished his sermon, and the Holy Spirit descended on them. They received, and they were praying in tongues. And man, may that be true today as I finish this off. If you've not yet received the Holy Spirit, that he would descend and you would receive. So we have these examples. And what's the result? So we have Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, and they're threatened by the council that they were speaking to. And the believers get together, and they began to pray for courage. And watch what happens here, Acts 4:31. This is their prayer. "And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. So a result of this Holy Spirit baptism. Other results we see, they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. They spoke in tongues and they magnified God. So these were all some of the results of that baptism of the Holy Spirit, that subsequent experience. Well, you can take my word for it, but I also want you to hear it from someone else this morning. We've heard Peter's story, and I've asked Marilee Mitchell to come and just share with us briefly her story of baptism of the Holy Spirit and what that meant for her.
Thank you. Well, number one, I grew up in a church where, yes, there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit, but no. No speaking in tongues, none of that. No, of that. And so when I came and joined and came in with the Foursquare 30 years ago-ish, they didn't force it down your throat. Like, I'm just saying that as a term, like if you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, it was something that was a gift that you could have. And so I went through quite a process. I was thinking about it like probably 6 years or so of this going back and forth in my head and just really wanting more. And I know some people say, yes, they were saved and the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues immediately and wonderful. Well, number one, I didn't want anybody, well, I shouldn't say that. I didn't really want to be prayed for the Holy Spirit to come that I would speak in tongues. I didn't want that. Like, you know, if you had people coming up, I didn't want that personally, because I was kind of a private person and I want to do this on my own terms, Lord. I'll do it on my terms, Lord. Okay, and we know how that goes. Anyways, through teaching, through our pastor at that time, Pat and Joy Kilpatrick, and teaching me and getting understanding, like, here's the purpose of it, here's what it's for, here's what you can do with it, here's what it'll do for you, and on, you know, like all these the scriptures that are involved with it. So I was involved with the youth, and we went to a youth convention out in Kelowna, and I had reached a point of, okay, yes, Lord, yes. I recognize, yes, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I would really like this next part that is a tool, it's a gift, it's a good thing. I really would. And so in the worship time at a youth convention, and if anybody's been to a youth convention of any kind, worship gets pretty intense. It's good. And I just remember being so immersed in worship, and the Lord just, boom, put a word in my mouth. Just like, I'm like, okay. Okay, I hear that. Okay, and so, you know, and in that sense, I'm one of those people, I have one word, generally one word. But he shows me when it's time to use it. He shows me when it's necessary. It's when you want to pray and you don't know what to say. And anyways, and then I was thinking about it further, and I thought, you know, really, when we are speaking in tongues, we often do it for ourselves, our personal requests, and for others. We pray for others and we pray in tongues, and I thought, you know, it really is a matter, though. Like, when I was deeply in worship in that youth convention, I was really hearing the Lord. Like, it's not just what you're talking, it's not just what you're speaking. I think I really got hung up on what can I say, and instead of what can I hear, and then the Lord spoke that word.
So we're going to get a little bit into that spiritual prayer language. How does that work? So we often observe in the New Testament, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is accompanied by the gift of tongues, the spiritual language. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, "For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious." And there we go. All right, all good. So Dr. Daniel Brown talks about that so often we misunderstand that this is a mysterious thing. So we are never going to understand what we are saying. That is not how it was designed. That's not how we are set up. And he said so often when it comes to spiritual language, our intellect, our logic gets in the way. Well, I don't understand that, so I can't say that. That would be ridiculous. That would be silly. But Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will." So our prayer language, that personal one between us and the Lord, it builds us up. It edifies us in our spirit. It helps us in our weakness. And it's incredibly powerful. I was sharing with a few people just in my own experiences how when God has directed me to pray very specifically in my prayer language, how there has been some incredible breakthrough on requests that did not seem possible. And now, just to note that this spiritual prayer language is distinguished from the spiritual gift of tongues used with interpretation for a public gathering. So some of you may have witnessed that before, where someone speaks out in tongues, somebody interprets that. That is not the personal prayer language we're referring to. That is a spiritual gift that we'll get into at a later time. So, I'd like to do just a little demonstration. It's one I just used recently at our kids' camp, and it means I need a volunteer who's not hesitant about speaking out into the mic. Do I have anyone willing to do that? Anyone? All right, Tara Lee, come on up. So, I'm going to put this on the screen. Does anyone recognize this? Anyone know what this means? Okay, good. Otherwise, it falls apart there and I have to change the language. So, I'm going to say these words. Tara Lee is going to hear these words and she is going to repeat them in faith that I know what they mean and in faith that she is saying these words in harmony with my will, what I have planned in advance for you, Tara Lee. All right, and I'm going to badly mispronounce this. So, Julutum, Mundtekem,
Mundtekem,
Pajezen,
Pajezen,
Tejeter,
Tejeter,
De Proschutes,
De Proschutes.
All right, do you have any idea what you just said? Okay. Sorry, but close. So, you have just earned yourself the rest of the bacon. You get the whole plate. Yes, all for you. And that language, by the way, was Albanian, just for reference. So, now you know how to say bacon in Albanian. But what I want to demonstrate to you is that is how we receive a spiritual language. Marilee, you said it so well. We have to listen. So she listened to my voice. She spoke in faith what I was saying to her. And because I love Tara Lee, and because she was saying this thing in according with the will that I had set up for her in advance, she received what she asked for. She asked me for the rest of the bacon, and I gave it to her. Well done. So you might go, well, that seems super simple. I've prayed for spiritual language before. I've never received. And as we were worshiping this morning and we talked about God, you made a way where there was no way. Can I encourage you already, if you've not been released in your spiritual language, that God will make a way where there seems to be no way, and he still wants to release that in you, because with it comes power, with it comes the opportunity to build yourself up. Are you still saved if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Are you still saved if you don't speak in a spiritual language? Yes. This is just that additional gift from the Lord that gives us the ability to walk in greater power and release. How do we know it's for everyone? The Bible says this is for everyone. I wish that you all spoke in tongues, Paul says. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is available for every believer. But what happens if you don't experience this, or you're not sure if you've experienced it, or you've not been released in the gift of tongues? Sometimes there are simply barriers. Barriers that the Holy Spirit wants to address and remove. So one of those things could be reservedness. Maybe you're a very reserved person. So the thought of coming forward and being prayed for in a crowd of people and then having to speak what you're hearing when it makes no sense to you terrifies you. That's a legitimate concern. And so we want to pray through those things today and ask God to remove fear. It could be logic and intellect. Again, it could be that I need to process this, I need to analyze this, and yet it's a spiritual mystery that can't be processed or analyzed. It could be doubt. It could be maybe you just need time to wait. So I received my spiritual prayer language alone in my room and said, I'm not leaving here until I have this, Lord, and did that. And so for some of you, maybe you need to connect with God in a way that makes sense to you, and pray and wait on him and allow him to release that in you. Again, you're no less saved. But here's the thing. Today, we're going to give the opportunity for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you've never received it. We're going to give you the opportunity to be prayed for and to have him release your spiritual language. But here's what we don't do. When we call you forward to come and be prayed for, we're going to shake you. We're not going to force words out of you. We're not going to say, oh, if you didn't say anything, you failed. Too bad for you. That's not how it works. It's simply a gift, and we ask. We're here to agree with you and provide some gentle encouragement if you have doubts. We're here to pray with you because sometimes as we're praying, God will illuminate, hey, here's the barrier that's in operation here. Let's pray about that. And if you don't sense that release today, I believe that he will, and we're going to continue to pray that way for you. Some of us did the Doing What Jesus Did back in the winter months and talked about this in spiritual release, and some of you have not yet been released in that gift, and I'm not going to point anyone out, but know that I have continued to pray for you. I believe that God still wants to release that prayer language for you. So when we are filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit, we can live a powerful life. All we have to do is ask. It's as simple as that. So some of you today are living the Christian life without power. You're terrified about witnessing. You seem to continue to bump up against the same struggles and not able to push past. You sometimes feel that disconnect from God, and you desire greater intimacy. You desire more. You maybe even would identify, hey, my life is lacking the flavor it needs. Today, we want to pray for you, and we want to pray, too. Some of you have not received because of fear, disappointment, a bad experience when you've been prayed for. And so I want to make a promise to you. You will not have that experience here this morning. We will create a safe place for you to be prayed for. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up, and they're just going to play that last song. And we're going to be here to pray with you. We're actually not going to close the service till we've done some of this, and then we'll close it all together. And Pastor Ed and I are here to pray with you. If you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or be released in your spiritual language, we have some other leaders that are ready to come as well and pray. So if there's a lot of people, don't worry. We're ready. All right? But would you stand with me and be ready too? Would you just continue or begin to wait on the Lord and say, God, is that for me today? Is that what you're calling me to do, to step out and receive?